Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey.
And we're back for another episode in our new series, Thankful Meditations. So this is episode 192, and I cannot believe we're already on the fourth one.
Fourth one, that quick.
Crazy.
That quick. We decided to kick off the year with some quotes from famous Christian leaders, authors, some scripture that we can just meditate on and hopefully increase our gratitude and thankfulness, because gratitude and thankfulness changes just about everything in our view of life. Like the last episode we just recorded was a good one. You should go back and listen to it. It was a quote from John Milton, and in that it refers to the fact that, you know, when you walk in that gratitude, God starts to get real. You have these aha moments that they begin to change how you see life and how you see the world. And that's the power that gratitude and thankfulness has. So Steph and I are just trying to meditate on these things throughout the week. Sometimes we do better than we do with others. Like I did really good with last week's episode, not as well with this one. And as we meditate on them, hopefully we're going to increase our gratitude and our thankfulness in 2025. How cool would it be to look back on 2025? So we roll into 2026, which will happen faster than you think, right?
Yeah.
A month of 2025 is already gone.
Wild.
So let's just, which is literally a 12th of 2025 is already finished. Almost 10% is already gone. Anyway, you look back on 2026 and you go, man, I was so much more thankful this year. Or I've got some daily ways in which I can see that I am more thankful. If it was just one thing, like if you and I, a couple months down the road, because this is how the sanctification process works, a couple months down the road, we can't really tell in the moment, but we look back over a period of time. And we just think of it was like this. We look back over a period of the last 3 months and we go, I really have been thankful for my job, or just one thing, or my husband, or my children, or my church, or the country that I live in, right? Even though there's so much craziness all the time with it, if we could look back and be like, I have been purposefully thankful for this one thing these last 3 months, I think it changes everything. And that's what I'm banking on. I think that the Word tells us that, and I think that we naturally, not just from the Word, but we naturally see this. We know this in psychology, sociology, and actual brain studies. We know that thankfulness and gratitude changes mood, outlook on life, mental health related issues, even physical health, right?
Yeah.
It changes everything. And so there is a, if you and I could look back on and go, all right, man, we did that for 3 months, just with one thing, it would change a lot of stuff. That's my goal, right? I know that I need to be, I felt like God has been putting on my heart for a long time now, that I need to change what I look to as success. I need to change what I look to as important. And I need to be more thankful for what he's doing, what he's already done, who he is, no matter what's going on at church or in the world around me or in relationships. There's been a lot of discouraging relationships for me recently. And, you know, I know I need to do that. So that's what I'm trying to do. And so far these first three have really helped me.
I feel like I can tell.
You can?
Yeah. It seems like you have a different attitude.
I'm trying. I really am.
You can tell.
And what's funny is that I say I'm trying, but I'm still screwing up a whole lot.
Of course.
But that's normal. But man, when you just try, right? When you go, I'm going to try and I'm going to focus on this, the Holy Spirit comes around you and lifts you up. That is an actual picture of what is referenced all throughout Scripture, right? God opposes the prideful, comes against the prideful. It's all throughout Scripture. But God lifts up the humble. And when we literally just try, we are being humble, and the Holy Spirit comes with us and starts to make things happen just from us trying. You know what I mean?
That's mind-blowing right there.
Just from us trying. So that's what I feel like that's I'm good. Walking in right now. You know, there's lots of places that I'm failing at it, you know, and I didn't have a really good attitude this past weekend. I let things get on my nerves and, you know, and then I was kind of rude to my wife and my kids at the wrong moments and stuff like that. And, you know, so I'm definitely not doing it all right.
Right,
but,
right.
But there's a different air because I am really trying to pursue gratefulness.
Yeah.
And naturally, I have not been very good at this. So
right.
Anyway, that's what we're doing. We're just meditating on them thoughts and seeing if we can increase gratefulness and thankfulness. And basically, we're just trying and letting the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. So what's today, Steph? This is the fourth one?
Yeah, fourth yep. one.
Okay. This was a short one.
And it's also very convicting.
Yeah, we're about to get into this one.
A thankful heart cannot be cynical. A.W. Tozer?
A.W. Tozer, yeah. A.W. Tozer is a American pastor and author in the 20th century, so mid-1900s. Mm-hmm. And he was completely self-educated, but he's still considered a very influential Christian author and theologian. Wrote a lot of good stuff. A couple of his famous books are The Pursuit of God, The Purpose of Man was a big one. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of stuff he wrote. Very well renowned. Anything you read from A.W. Tozer is on point. And he's got this simple one for us. A thankful heart cannot be cynical. Whew. This one's tough for me because I am cynical. And my cynicism has grown greatly as I have been in ministry longer and longer and longer, right? Yeah. And my wife tells me a lot. She'll be like, you're just too cynical. And if you don't know what we mean by cynical, cynical is this mindset of sort of seeing the world as everybody's out for their own, and there's these ulterior motives and everything, and
suspicious of others,
yes,
distrust,
and you already have sort of the way cynicism sort of plays out is you've already decided who people are and what they're going to do before they ever do it.
That's because you've been through things,
right? Yeah, you've been through stuff, you know, and seen it, so you're just like, this is how this is going to happen, and nothing's really that good, and there's no real good motive in it, and you know what I mean. Like, what were we saying earlier?
We were saying the common saying when you are cynical is, "I'm just real. Yeah, I'm a realist.
I'm just being real, right?" And I told Steph, I was like, "That's so. I'm a pessimist, right? My glass is half full. I see what's wrong, not what's right." And the pessimist likes to justify it by going, "No, I'm not. I'm not negative. I'm just being real. I'm keeping it real.
I'm right? just speaking the facts.
Right, I'm just speaking the facts. This is just the truth, right?" And Valerie will be like, "No, you're being Debbie Downer. You're being Mr. Negative. You're speaking death, not life, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And the cynical person is everything has a bad motive to it, no matter what, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so if you're cynical with other people, you're just like, well, this is how people are. It's just how people are, right? A cynical view of, and I'm not saying you don't have reasons to think this, but like a cynical view is well, people don't change, right? That's a cynical view. Once a cheater, always a cheater. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
All right. This person's always going to be like this. The world's always going to be like this. You know, it's a tough world, kids. Grab your coat. Get used to it. That's how it is, right? There's just this harshness, cynicalness to it. And what Tozer is saying, I'm telling you, Tozer's stuff is on point. I've read a lot of Tozer stuff over the years. What he's saying is a thankful heart cannot be cynical. So it's like what he's saying to me as I've thought about this, and I'm really doing it kind of right in a moment because I haven't thought about this quote like I did the other ones.
Right.
I haven't meditated on it like I did the other ones. What he's saying is that how do you combat cynicism? What kills cynicism? Thankfulness. That's such an interesting thought to me.
Yeah.
Right? It's such an interesting thought to me because I am naturally cynical. The way this plays out with me I'm walking into, like, so I'm a pastor. I'm in church leadership all the time, right? I am constantly dealing with people's personal problems, issues, tragedies, right? And here's the way this cynicism comes out for me, Steph, is somebody will call with a meeting, like they want to meet with me. And I will, and I say this out loud to Valerie, to, you know, whoever. I'll be like, well, it ain't good. Nobody ever wants to meet with me for something good. It's always something bad. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Such a cynical view. It's like I've already figured out, well, it's got to be some sort of problem. And that's just how it is. You know, That statement is a cynical statement. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. This is just how it is. That's the way it's always going to go. This is the way it's going to be, right? Cynical statements like, this past week we had some car trouble. Now, let's be real. This is where thankfulness changes it. Let's be real. None of the car trouble was that bad. It wasn't that expensive to fix. It all handled itself quickly. It was just inconvenient, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody died. No, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like it was a car wreck or anything like that, but it was inconvenient.
Just like little troubles.
And the cynicism will come out of, well, of course the car breaks. Stuff's got to break every day. Something's going to break every day. It's just the way it is, right? That's how I feel. It's cynical. But what's funny is I think he's on to something. So this past week, I'll give you a quick story. We got time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Tuesday night, Tuesday night. So several days ago, and by the time you hear this, a week or so ago. But Madeline had, our youngest, had a volleyball game in Yanceyville, a doubleheader. It's our last ones. I've only been able to make it to like two because we've had another kid in something, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to divide and conquer, right? And so I had to go, and she was going to get a little medal at the end, right? So I go, and I forego Aiden's basketball game to go to her thing, right? And so Olivia has to get Aiden from home and take him to the basketball game. So school ends 3:15 on that day. All that's coming up in the evening. Olivia calls me, Daddy, my car won't crank. So I'm like, oh, annoying. Here we go. I already got one car in the shop. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, I'm on the way. So I drop what I'm doing and I'm annoyed and I drive to the school and I jump her car off and I realize she probably needs a new battery because that one looks pretty bad and old. So we drive and get a new battery. Right, just annoyance. New battery's there now. I've got money to put the battery in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Baby girl won't left on the side of the road. It was just after school. Right, it was a perfect place for the battery to be dead. Mm-hmm. Won't like it died at the gas station at 7 o'clock at night where she's trying to come home. You know what I mean? We get a new battery. I go back to work. She heads home to get Aiden and go to the ball game. Well, I drive to Yanceyville. Madeline's game starts. Olivia calls, Daddy, I'm at home. My car won't start again. It's acting weird. And I'm like, oh, crap, your brother's got to be at the ballgame in no time. So I leave Yanceyville. I drive all the way home. I get him. I drive him and drop him off the game. I drive all the way back to Yanceyville so that I'm there for Madeline's thing. And then I tell myself I'll deal with the car when I get home. I get home after that. After we go to her game, then we pop into Aiden's game for the last few minutes. We go home, right? It's late. Go outside, get Aiden to help me. We fool with the car. And I realize I think I can limp it to the shop, and I'm going to do it tonight so I don't get stuck in the morning. So then I spend the rest of the evening getting that thing to the shop, right? And it was so annoying. And
yeah.
And the whole time I'm thinking, this is just life. This is what life's like. You know, it's just a cynical. This is just life. Life sucks. Stuff breaks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Here I am. My whole evening's messed up, all this stuff. And so the next day, though, within an hour, car's fixed, right? Way cheaper than we thought it was. All it was the alternator. I figured it was, but no big deal. And when I went to pick it up, I had this little bit of a moment of, man, I'm really thankful that this was not that big a deal. And I'm thankful that I had the money to fix it, right? I ain't got to worry about the money to fix it. And it didn't. Nobody got hurt. It didn't break while Olivia was driving it. You know, it's just a moment of thankfulness. And what really caused the thankfulness to happen was our mechanic, I have known since we were teenagers. So he's a trusted friend, you know?
That's nice.
And that's what got me thankful. When I walked out, he said something. He said, he's a man of few words. He's a big man. He's bigger than me. And he said, man, I always got your back, right? And when I got in the car, when I got in the car, I went, man, I really shouldn't have been like I was last night. This was not that big a deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was not that big. I shouldn't, and I didn't even put together the cynical part till we started talking about it. But there was this moment of, nah, you know, it's nice to have people like that. Thank you. You know, I'm thankful for people like that. I'm thankful for the fact that we had money to fix this, that it wasn't that big a deal, that it's all over and done just like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, it don't always happen like that, but it did in that moment. And what Tozer says is a thankful heart can't be cynical. So in that moment, even though I'm a naturally cynical person, in that moment when I became thankful, the cynicism left, right? And then it wasn't the world sucks, this is how the world is, stuff breaks. Then all of a sudden it was, no, God, life's good, God's good. You know what I'm saying? That's a big thought.
Yeah.
It's a simple phrase. A thankful heart cannot be cynical. It's like if we are thankful intentionally, then this cynicism, bad view of the world, everything's bad, people are just bad, it starts to go away. It's like it combats it. And it can't happen at the same time. That's the interesting part to me. And I feel like I felt that, right? That I can't sit around having this cynical view if I'm thankful. Which I think might be the opposite too, which would mean if we are being cynical, can we really have a thankful heart, right? Can we really be thankful if we're sitting around, you know, annoyed, bemoaning, feeling like we know everything, being what you said earlier, right? Keeping it real, right? If we're doing those things, then Tozer's phrase in reverse, the antithesis of this would be that then we couldn't have a thankful heart. But if we have a thankful heart, then all of a sudden cynicism can't come in. It can't creep in.
And that's really good.
And cynicism is a nasty thing. It really
is.
It is.
It's terrible.
It destroys mood. Mm-hmm. Nobody. This is Valerie said this to me. We got in a big fight about this. She called me cynical, right? It's funny how the things that your spouse says to you that are good, you don't remember.
You always remember the negative.
Yeah, but when they say something that hurts you, right, that gets you,
and you hold on to it.
Especially when it's true, right? It gets you.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of things she said to me over the years that have just, in the moment, I fought them, but later on, I'm like, I think about them all the time. And she said this to me one time. She was referring, you're just so cynical. You're so cynical. And what she said was, is she said, nobody wants to be around a cynical person, right? Nobody wants to be around a cynical person because it just puts this black cloud. That's what she said to me. There's just this dark cloud over everything. And for me, it makes me be passive aggressive. So I'll throw out passive aggressive phrases. I'm horrible at being passive aggressive. And I won't forget that, right? It's like, nobody wants to be around a cynical person because cynicism just creates this bad mood cloud, right? It's the same thing when you said like Debbie Downer. What'd you say earlier? I said Debbie Downer. You said something else. I can't remember. Anyway.
I forgot already.
Right. Nobody wants to be around that person, right? Because it just creates this just foul, almost like hopeless feeling. There is a level of hopelessness in cynicism. Somebody who is cynical has sort of bought into, and I know because I'm this person, consistently buys into this, the idea of there's no hope. This is just what it is, right?
Mm.
Which is totally against who I want to be because I know that there's hope.
Yeah.
Right? My faith tells me there's hope. And I believe in the hope that is in Jesus, right? And yet when I'm cynical, it's like everything's just is what it is, going to be the way it is. Let's keep it real. This is just how life is. You know what I mean? And there's this just horrible mood and air to it that nobody wants to be around, and it just rips hope out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfulness injects hope. Thankfulness is like, no, things may go bad, but God's good. Some stuff may not be right. Things are going to break, right? But there's a million other things to be thankful about. And he's posing this big idea that if you have a thankful heart, then you cannot, you literally can, I think he means this literally, you cannot be cynical. So if you are somebody who struggles with being cynical, it sounds like the antidote to it, the cure, is intentionally pursuing a grateful heart, a thankful heart, which will kill some of that cynicism. So if you're like me, you're Debbie Downer, you're the pessimist, the glass is half empty.
Mm-hmm.
Being thankful for what's in the glass will make you stop thinking about it being so empty. You can't do it at the same time. That's a good thought. Like, the whole glass half empty, glass half full thing, right? Like, what are you, Steph? Are you naturally glass half full or are you naturally glass half empty? Are you pessimist or optimist?
See, that's hard for me to answer at this season of my life. I think I've been an optimist a lot more in the past. There's naturally lately, I can lean toward pessimist, though.
But you think, like, in outside of current situations, you're naturally sort of a optimist. See the good.
I actually think I am. Yeah.
I agree. I've been around you since you were young. I agree. I think you are. I have always been naturally glass half full. And here's a good illustration of what Tozer's saying. If you focus on the glass being half empty, you're focusing on the empty part, the part you don't have. If you're focusing on what you don't have, then how can you be thankful for what you do? But if you look at the glass half empty and you're paying attention to what is actually in the glass, then you can't really, if you're thankful for what's in the glass, you can't really be focused on what's not in the glass. You know what I mean? Because you're focused on what is in the glass, right? So if you sit around going, let's take a relationship. If you sit around going, I'm thankful that my husband is A, B, C, D, E, and you focus on that, it's almost impossible then to focus on what he's not or what he's not good at. You know what I mean?
True.
Right? And I think that's what he's saying. So like, if you are being thankful, then there's no room to think about what's not there, or to be jaded about what's not there, because that's what cynicism is. Cynicism is this heavily jaded mindset. I've experienced life. I've seen some things, and this is just how humanity is. It's just how people are. This is how life is. Just how I am. It's jaded. And if you focus on what is actually there, it's almost impossible to focus on what's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Pretty big thought.
It is a big thought.
Those of you that are readers, especially if you're Christian readers, if you like to read Christian stuff, not fiction, so nonfiction type Christian stuff, you get your hands on some A.W. Tozer, and it's some solid, solid stuff. A.W. Tozer reminds me a lot of Tim Keller. I think there might be a Tim Keller one in here. I don't know. I can't remember. But most of these that are on our list are, from 17th century, 18th century, that kind of thing. So, anyway, let's read it one more time. Thankful heart cannot be cynical. Thankful heart cannot be cynical. And I think that can mean to us, too. It might help us to put it in reverse. A cynical heart cannot be thankful.
That's so deep.
It's very deep.
I feel like I need to put that on a wall.
This one is definitely one you have to really think on and meditate on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think meditating on it will bring about, am I cynical? When I'm cynical, am I not being thankful? And then also, wait a minute, when I'm thankful, do I see the world in a different light? Do I see people in a different light? You know what I mean?
Yeah, when I'm not at my best, I can definitely be super cynical.
Yep.
So this is nice. This is a nice quote. It's and helpful. I also want to read more by this A.W. Tozer.
Terrific stuff. Now, obviously, when you get to something that's mid-19th century, it's a little harder to read. It ain't like reading William Law or John Milton that we talked about in the last few, which is like 3 centuries ago, right? Different kind of language. But it's a little deeper, but it's really good stuff. Purpose of Man is probably my favorite Tozer book.
Purpose of Man.
And that was one that was put into print multiple times, so it's easier to get your hands on. The Purpose of Man. Yeah. And then there is, what was the other one? I don't know. Anyway.
I feel like this is something.
The Pursuit of God is another one.
Pursuit of God? Okay. I'll have to look those up. When I see these older names, I sometimes imagine reading by some candlelight in the dark with no power because it's so old.
And using that old English type stuff, right? It's interesting. Like last week's quote was from John Milton. If you go read Paradise Lost, one, it's got this old English kind of style to it, and two, it's a daggone poem. So you know how poems can be, right? You can be fine and funky.
Yeah.
You can definitely feel yourself lighting some candle and somebody with a pencil quill writing it out. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Well, I think we need to definitely drop down the titles of those books you just shared.
We should.
Because I think I'm interested, so I feel like someone else would be. So.
And a picture of the door we kicked in.
We're still going to do that. If we didn't post it last week, we're posting it this week.
Did we say that on this episode?
We did, the last one.
So just so everybody knows what the heck I'm talking about, for this recording session, we could not get in the door. It has this passcode thing on it, and I don't know if it was the battery or what was happening. We wouldn't get in, and I knew if we didn't get in, we were in trouble because we wouldn't, Steph and I have to work on our schedules to make these recording sessions work, mm-hmm. right? So we're usually here late in an evening, like we are right now, 7:45, right?
You're like, I still need dinner.
Right. So we miss one, we're in trouble. So I literally kicked the door in. So it's broke.
Yeah.
It looks, what'd you say earlier? It looks what?
Flictated. Is that the word? Yeah, that's what people used to say, I guess, a lot more. I thought it was still common, but maybe it's not.
Flictated. Yep.
That's I also need to share that Pastor Adam tried to nail this like piece of board in, and the nail comes through.
It almost
Thank God it didn't
hand.
Hit his hand.
Yeah, it almost went in my hand. So it's broke. Right now, it's got a box holding it in front of it, so I don't know.
But as you said in the last episode, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're done.
Yay.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Lord.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.